Amen. Thank God for His amazing love beyond our understanding. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. We'll take our text from there today. We begin a new study. We just finished a series about giving. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And today we want to start talking about thankfulness. I know that we ought to be thankful all the time. We all know that we ought to be thankful all the time. And we obviously need to be reminded of that. Somebody once said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. It is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer but richer for having made it. Offering of gratitude. We all need to have an attitude of gratitude, but unfortunately, most of us are too busy focusing on what we don't have, what we think we've been cheated out of, and what's wrong, rather than being focused on what God has given us. And it's really a matter of perspective. And so today and over the next few weeks, I pray that God will change our perspective, that God will give us a heart of gratitude, that we'll learn to be thankful always and in all things. So if you're able, let's stand together. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, the Word of God says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne of grace today, and we are thankful. But Lord, we know that we're not always thankful. Lord, we're thankful, and we're not thankful all the time. And Lord, today we know that we're not thankful for all things. So Lord, today I pray that You would grow our hearts in faith to know that You are sovereign, that You are in control of everything. To know that as a child of God, nothing gets to us unless it comes through You. So no matter what our circumstances, give us a heart that is thankful for who You are, for what You've done, for what You are doing, and what You're going to do. Forgive us when we're not thankful, and help us to learn to always be thankful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I really want to just take this verse a bite at a time and talk about exactly what it says. You'll notice if you look at Ephesians chapter 5 that this comes on the heels of being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit-filled Christian, one who is completely yielded to God, who is giving everything over to the Lord and is filled up with the Spirit of God, is going to be a thankful Christian. The Spirit-filled Christian is a thankful Christian. When the Spirit of God is in you and filling up every part of your heart and mind, when the Spirit is in control, you're not grieving the Spirit, you're not quenching the Spirit, but you're walking and praying in the Spirit, you're going to have joy in your heart, you're going to have worship in your soul and in your life, and thanksgiving is going to come from you. And so we need to understand that it requires the Spirit of God. We are not by nature thankful people. This is not in our nature. It's in our nature to ask for things, but then not give thanks for those things. It's in our nature. See, we never have to teach our children to ask for something, but we always have to teach them to say thank you. Right? How many of you have ever asked your child, when someone gave them something, what do you say? Right? And you only had to tell them once because it just that one time and it sticks, right? No, every time when they're little bitty and when they get a little older and for the rest of their life, we have to be reminded to be thankful. People have done very kind things for me and I always have very good intentions. Every time someone does something nice for me, I think I'm going to write them a thank you note. I forgot. I want you to know that I'm thankful. I meant to write you a note. I really did. I had good intentions. And I really am grateful. But I failed to express that gratitude. You see, the Lord calls us to give thanks, not just to be thankful in our heart, but to express that gratitude. And that's really what being thankful is about. I would like to take just a second to say thank you to the church. Man, last Sunday night, you guys blessed me and my family more than I could say. You have no idea how blessed I am to be your pastor. Your generosity and your love for us, your kindness to us, and then you topped it all off with cake. You see, and I think that's the way it ought to be. Because I am thankful for the depths of my heart, and so many of you said that you appreciate me, and I appreciate you. And I appreciate you appreciating me, and I hope you appreciate me appreciating you. I'm going to stop there because I'm going to get confused, but I'm just saying that that's the way it ought to be. And you ought to know that I'm thankful for you, and I ought to know if you're thankful for me. Because that gratitude has to be expressed. Always thankful. Notice that he says, giving thanks. Giving thanks. This is a verb, and it's a present tense verb. That means that it's something you're to be doing right now. It's a present participle, which means that it's something that has a continuing action. And friends, we're to be thankful all the time. He emphasizes that. There's really a great emphasis that he says giving thanks always, because if you just take the giving thanks by itself, that indicates that it's something that's to be going on all the time. It's something that we do. Be grateful. It's a matter of perspective, and it starts in our heart. Now, I don't know, how many of you have ever heard of a fellow named Zig Ziglar? Anybody? All right, man, I still love to listen to Zig stuff. If you haven't, he's just a lot of fun to listen to. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but I remember Zig telling a story one time about a lady who called. She was having a rough time, and Zig always talked about having that attitude of gratitude, have that attitude of gratitude. And she had called into his office and said, I'm having a terrible time. My job is awful, and I just don't think I can take it anymore. And he said, listen, have her meet with me. I got 10 minutes before I have to speak. She can come talk to me behind stage. And when he told the story, he said, I was back on the curtain, behind the curtain on one side, and I saw her coming from across the stage around the curtain. He said, I'd never seen a woman who was that mad before in my life. I mean, this woman was just spewing venom of anger every step that she took. And she got up to him. He said she was almost in tears when she got up. She said, I hate my job. I hate all the people I work with. I hate everything about it. And just, I mean, she was letting him have it. And really, the problem was that she didn't really want him to fix. She just wanted to be able to gripe. Have you ever known anybody that doesn't really want their problems fixed? They just want to tell everyone about their problems? Know somebody like that? You ever been somebody like that? Like, I really don't want you to fix it. I just want to gripe. I just need to vent. I need somebody that will listen to me complain for a little bit. Yeah. And that's kind of the way that was going. And as she kind of told him all about how horrible it was, he said, well, I think it's about to get worse. And she said, what? She said, I'm pretty sure you're about to get fired. She said, what do you mean? Why would they fire me? Isn't it funny how the things that we're not grateful for, if we're faced with losing them, our attitude about those things changes? Well, let me just make it personal for you. Any of you ladies ever complained about your husband? Y'all might want to move away from her. Lest the Lord get you as collateral damage. I know that maybe there's a lady here that's complained about her husband before. But the second you think something might be wrong with them, or something bad may have happened, or you expected to hear from them and you hadn't got a call, all of a sudden that perspective changes very quickly. At the thought of losing somebody, our heart changes, our attitude changes. See, this attitude of gratitude, it's a matter of perspective. So Zig got the lady and he said, I've got something that will help you, that will absolutely guaranteed, I promise it'll work if you'll do it. And she said, I'll try anything within reason. He said, okay. He said, you really mean that? Yeah, absolutely. He said, what I want you to do is get out your notebook, and I want you to write down 20 things that you're thankful for your job for. All the things you can think of that you're thankful for your job for. And she said, well, that's easy. I'm not thankful for any of it. He said, well, do you work there? Like, is it a benevolent thing, or do they actually pay you? It's like, well, they pay me. They pay me pretty well, actually. And he said, well, you don't like that? You're not thankful? She's like, well, yeah, I'm thankful I get paid. Well, there you go. That's number one. And she just stood there. He said, now, step one is you got to take out your notebook and start writing it down. And she didn't want to do it. Finally, he said, listen, if you're not willing to take the first step, then we're done. You see, we are not thankful for things, but we don't want to do what it takes to fix it. And finally, she huffily grabbed her notebook and started writing. And he said, standing there in just a few minutes he had before he had to speak, she wrote down 22 things that she was thankful for about her job. And he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home every night when all the chores and things are done before you go to bed. I want you to look in the mirror. And he said, I can't tell you how important it is. You look in the mirror because the eyes are a window to the soul. And you might feel silly doing it, but do this. I want you to go into your mirror. I want you to get your list. And he said, I want you to change one thing. Don't say, I like my job because of these things. Say, I love my job because of these things. And you know what? She did it. She went home, she looked in the mirror, she felt really stupid, but she read, I love my job because I get paid. I love my job because it has a great retirement plan. I love my job because I get 3 weeks paid vacation. I love my job, and she went down the list, everyone, and she did it every night. A little while later, that same woman came to another show of Ziggs, and she ran to see him, and all of that anger and all that venom was gone, and she had joy and exuberance and had this happiness to her, and she ran up to him and hugged him and was so thankful to him, and she said, you wouldn't believe, Zig, how much all those people at work have changed. See, Zig always told people, you can change other people. You see, we hear that all the time. People don't change. You can't change anybody. You can't change anybody. But the truth is, you can change other people. But not by changing them, but by changing yourself. And when your heart is changed, when your attitude towards other people has changed, it changes everything. I think that's a perfect picture, a great example of what can happen in our lives in every area. Because not all of us work a job like that where we deal with a lot of people. Not all of us are in all the same places in life. But I know without question there are areas of our lives today where we are not grateful like we should be. Whether it's at home or at school or at work or at church or whatever area of your life where there's a lack of gratefulness. And if we would change our attitude, and maybe that's exactly what all of us need to do. Maybe we need to start making a list. God forbid there might be somebody here that goes off to work or school and starts complaining about something or someone at church. You ought not do that, but maybe somebody does that. Maybe what you ought to do is tonight you get a piece of paper out and you start writing down, I love my church because. And then you get in the mirror and you read that list right there to yourself. You look yourself in the eye and say, I love my church because, and I bet it would change the attitudes of everyone in this church. Is our church perfect? You need to think about that for a minute or no. This church isn't perfect because we're full of imperfect people. But we're a church that is filled with people who have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. We have the bond of the Spirit that's in us, and there is a lot to be thankful for here at Calvary. And all of those things that aren't so good, the things that we need improvement on, when you start to be grateful for the things that are good, it changes the other things in our attitude about them. Giving thanks, it's present, it's active, it's be grateful. It means to be grateful. It's a matter of perspective. It's an issue of the heart. And at the heart of every issue is an issue of the heart. And so we want to get our hearts right that I am thankful, that I think about what I'm thankful about. But it doesn't just mean to be grateful. It means literally to express gratitude. It's not just being thankful. It's expressing thankfulness. Now, you might remember in Luke chapter 17 where the 10 lepers were, and Jesus was passing through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he came into that village, and there were 10 lepers that stood afar off, and they cried out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And he said, "Go show yourself to the priests," and all 10 of them turned around, and as they went towards the priest, they were all made clean immediately. And 9 of them kept going, but one came back to the Lord. And he fell down at his feet, and he worshiped Jesus, and he gave him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And what did the Lord say? Where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Listen, they all received the benefit. They all had the healing. They all had been their lives had literally been saved by Jesus, and only one of them came back to express gratitude. Friends, how many times has God answered our prayers, done wonderful things in our lives, and we just keep going? And we don't come back and give thanks. See, it's real easy for us to tell God what we want, ask Him for our needs, but it seems that giving thanks has become not just secondary, but way down the list. And really, we ought to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving shouldn't be something we forget. It shouldn't be the last thing on the list. It should be the first thing on the list. Express your gratitude. Express your gratitude. Well, how do we do that? Well, it's the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. Listen, we express gratitude by telling God that we're thankful. We do that in our prayers. We do that in our songs. We do that in our speech to others. Listen, when you talk to somebody else, nobody ought to have a conversation with any of us without them understanding that we're grateful to God for what's happened in our lives. We're thankful. That we're thankful. And it shouldn't just be just words, but it comes from a heart of gratitude. Somebody asks me how I'm doing. I try to answer the same way every time, better than I deserve. And I mean that. And I do that as a reminder. If someone ever says, "Hey, that was a good message," or something like that, I try to always say, "Praise the Lord." It's not just habit. I really want God to get the glory. If it was good, it's God, it's not me. So praise God. To God alone be the glory. How's it going? Well, I got an ingrown toenail. Woke up with a headache today. My sinuses are killing me. Okay. Maybe that's a prayer request. Really, it's when I tell you that kind of stuff, I just want you to feel sorry for me. I don't even need you. You don't have to pray. Just feel bad for me. Yeah. Oh. It's not wrong to tell everybody what's going on. That's a good thing, and we ought to pray for one another. And I can't pray for you if I don't know what's wrong as effectively, if I don't know what's going on. But listen, somewhere in there has got to be, but God's good. And He's good. In the midst of all this, He's been faithful. He's blessed. He's done this and such. We got to give thanks. Giving thanks, and He says, always. Always. If you break this word down, always, it literally means every when. Every when. So we might say at all times. At all times. We want to give thanks every when. When should you give thanks? Well, every one of them. Every when there is. Every moment of every day, at all times, we ought to give thanks to God. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, thank God that you got another day. When you wake up every morning, thank God that Jesus Christ saved your soul. When you get up and you can go, thank God that you can get up and go. When you can't get up and go, thank God that you were able to before. And trust that you'll be able to again. Listen, whatever our circumstances are, every moment we have reason to be grateful. Every moment we have reason to be grateful. God's been so good to us. Would you look at Psalm 30 with me, please? The 30th Psalm. I just want to use this to remind you real quick. We could go to 100,000 different verses, but has God been good to you? Psalm 30, verse 1. Says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Can I just tell you, when God's good, you ought to give him glory. You ought to praise him. Man, he's so good. I mean, he's blessed me with a wife and four children. I have my parents and my in-laws, and I love my in-laws. See, not everybody can say that. I mean, I think about my aunts and uncles and my cousins. I think about my friends. I think about my church family. God has blessed me with amazing relationships in my life. Praise God for those relationships. The bond that we have with one another in the church, all of those things, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Have you ever had those wow moments where you're in a situation and God just gives you that little pause? It's like he puts a little pause button and you just go, wow. I am so blessed. You ever have those moments? I know some of you guys, you've been trying to kill a deer. Poor Bambi. But I know some of you, when you're up there and you put in all the effort and the work and you're freezing your tail end off, but then that prize buck comes out. And there's a moment where everything slows down and you go, wow, this is awesome. I know some of you, maybe it's somebody's done something kind for you. Maybe they gave you a birthday gift or some other special gift, and you get it, and it was so thoughtful. You can tell somebody put an enormous amount of thought and love into it, and you open that gift, and you go, wow, they really love me. I have those moments from time to time. Check on the kids at night while they're asleep. My children are never more precious than when they're asleep. But seriously, you ever look at your kids sleeping? And it's like God just pushes the pause button and you just go, wow. And your heart is full and you're so thankful. Listen, maybe it's a sunrise and a good cup of coffee. Maybe it's a walk at night and the beautiful stars without number. I just thank God for those moments when you just go, wow. I got a roof over my head. I've got health. My mind's still about me mostly. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful when things are good. But you know, we ought to be thankful when things aren't good. We ought to be thankful when somebody's sick and in the midst of it all, we can still give thanks to God and we pray for healing. And we ought to thank God when that healing comes. We ought to be like the leper who comes back and worships at the feet of Jesus. But you know, sometimes healing doesn't come. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, the Apostle Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure, God gave me a messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And I asked God 3 times to take it away, and he wouldn't take it away. He would not take away my infirmity. And he said unto me, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And I promise you, whatever it was a big deal. Paul wouldn't have bothered the Lord with it three times if it wasn't a big deal. And Paul was a man of faith. He was used to having his prayers answered in the affirmative. When he asked God for something, God most of the time said yes, because he was asking in the will of God. But this time he asked three times and God didn't do it. And he said, I'll glory in my infirmities. I've got pain. I've got affliction. I've got this messenger from Satan that's buffeting me. It's afflicting me. It's not good. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. But I'll glory in it because God wants me to have it. There's some guys on TV this morning, no doubt, telling people by the thousands that if you'll just send your money, pray a prayer, do whatever, that God's going to bless you, everything's going to be good in your life. If you wanted to hear that message, friends, you've come to the wrong place. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. That life is full of trouble, sorrow, affliction. And every person on this planet, saved and lost alike, live in a sin-cursed world. There is crying. There are tears. There is pain. There is sorrow. There is death. That's real. And you don't just thank God when it's good. We thank God always. You say, Brother Isaac, I don't understand. I don't either. I don't know why God would put me through this. I don't know why God would allow it. I don't know either. But I know this without question, friend, listen to me. Nothing gets to a child of God unless it goes through God first. It's Father filtered. It doesn't come to you unless it goes through Him. And you say, why am I suffering? Because God has ordained it. Why did I lose my loved one? Because God ordained it. You say, well, preacher, that doesn't make me feel better. Oh, Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. I want you to know, friends, that no matter what sorrow, no matter what suffering, no matter what pain, no matter what trouble or tribulations we go through here, if you're a child of God, you have life everlasting. And whatever pain we endure here, it's but for a moment. Paul talked about the light affliction. He said this light affliction is nothing to be compared to the glory that he has in store for those that love him. Listen to me. What was light affliction for Paul? Hey, do you not know the grief and the pain that he bore because he persecuted the churches of God? Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that there were times that Paul went through that every time he closed his eyes, he saw Stephen. I believe that. I believe that moment in his life had to have haunted him for the rest of his days. Well, today we understand a little better. We call it post-traumatic stress disorder, right? In World War I, they call it being shell-shocked. When those things happen, listen, you have a traumatic event. You close your eyes, you still see it. I promise you, I believe with all my heart that Paul saw Stephen being stoned when he closed his eyes. There were times, there were moments he couldn't go away. He had that grief, that burden that he had to bear. I imagine he remembered kicking in doors and separating families and hearing the screams of children as he hauled their fathers off to jail. I believe that stuff stuck with him. He had that burden. I think about all that he went through. We read about it. How he was scourged 5 times. How he was beaten with rods. How he was imprisoned and shipwrecked. And he went hungry and he didn't have clothes and warm clothes to wear. And all the things that he went through, he said, it's nothing. Nothing compared to what Christ has in store. You see, this attitude of gratitude, this always being thankful, it doesn't mean that everything's good. It means that even in the midst of it all, we're able to look past here and see what God has in store. But He has nothing good in store for you unless you love Him. And you cannot love Him unless you trust in Him. And so it all begins with us repenting of our sin, putting our faith in Christ. And when you're a child of God, we can have thankfulness no matter what our circumstances are. In Acts 5... In verse 40, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, they got arrested and beaten for preaching Jesus, but when they left, they didn't say, oh no, we can't do that anymore. No, they rejoiced because they were beaten for preaching Jesus, and they kept on preaching Jesus. We go through the book of Acts, and we see it time and time again. Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were beaten and locked in the prison at midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. They were thankful. We need to be thankful when things are good. We need to be thankful when healing comes. We need to be thankful when healing doesn't come. We need to be thankful when persecution comes. We need to be thankful always for all things. For all things. Ephesians 5:20 again, giving thanks always for all things. This phrase, the two words that we have, all things, in our English is really just one word in the Greek. It just means all. You have to look at the context to know. In the context, it could mean all people. It could be all things. But I believe it's this. The Lord just says, I want you to always give thanks for all. For all. I heard a sermon years ago that really bothered me for a long time. And I've had a hard time coming to grips with it still. There was a young lady in a church, and she had been raped. And she went to the pastor for counsel, and the church was trying to help her and all of those things. But he counseled her that she had to come to a place where she could be thankful. And I remember listening to that sermon, and I got sick to my stomach. Like, how could you say that somebody needs to be thankful for that? I want to tell you the grace of God, because that young lady's testimony was this. And it didn't happen overnight. This terrible thing had happened to her. But down the road later, she was able to start ministering to other women. And though in the beginning she thought that that would be impossible, later she looked back and she was thankful for what had happened to her, because it enabled her to help other people. Listen to me. I still, even saying it now, that's hard for me to even imagine, to wrap my mind around. But friends, that's the grace of God. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Only a Spirit-filled person could be thankful for something terrible that happened to them, because it's enabled them to be used of God to help other people. For all things. We commemorated 9/11 just a month and a half ago. And does anybody else remember the days following, the stories that started coming out of people who missed their flight? I remember hearing those stories and being amazed, because, listen, there's not one of us here, if we had a flight that had to leave tomorrow and you got a flat on the way there and you missed your flight, you would not be happy about it. You wouldn't be thankful. You're on the side of the road. You're getting filthy. You're trying to get the tire changed. You're in a hurry and you're speeding. Maybe you get stopped and get a ticket because you're running late. Whatever it is, you're not going to be thankful. You're going to be griping and complaining and grumbling. But those people who missed their flight because their alarm didn't go off, or because they had a flat tire, or whatever the case was, I promise you, that night they were very, very thankful. You see, being thankful for all things is a matter of faith, because I understand that whatever situation I'm in, whatever's happened to me outside of my control, God is in control, and I need to be thankful. I just wonder how many flat tires kept us from a terrible accident down the road. I just wonder how many times we got sick and couldn't go to work saved us from something else. I just wonder how many times the things that we see as so bad were moments where we should have been praising God, because we don't know what's around the corner. Be thankful for all things. The good things and the things that don't seem so good, we need to give thanks. And friends, don't just be thankful. Be thankful unto God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanksgiving is directed towards God. He is the one who is worthy of all honor and power and glory and praise, both now and forever. Amen. Might as well get an early start, because in heaven one day you'll give thanks to God forever. Might as well get an early start and give him thanks every moment of every day now. Helen Keller, who we would look at Helen Keller and say, we would feel sorry for her and think about how much she didn't have, and yet she said, "So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have." It's a matter of perspective. Giving thanks always, always. This morning, I want to ask that we get ready for a verse of invitation. And while they're coming, would you stand with me? We've got a lot to give thanks for today. Our attitude about our family stinks sometimes. Our attitude about our job or school or whatever area of life, maybe even our attitude about church, is pretty rotten sometimes. We need to get a new perspective. We need to start consciously thinking about what we're thankful for. We need to make a list. We need to count our blessings. We need to look ourselves in the eye and remind ourselves why we love the things that God is doing in our lives. And then we need to make sure we tell him. In our prayers, in our worship, in our witness to other people, we ought to express our gratitude for what God has done in our lives. Friend, if you are not born again, if you've never been saved, you can't begin to be grateful. But if you are saved, we ought to always give thanks. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if today you can't put your hand on your heart and say, "I know when I die I'm going to heaven because Jesus is my Savior," I plead with you today, repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And for all of us who are saved, let's give thanks to God. If we haven't had a heart of gratitude, we've sinned against the Lord. And we need to repent. Giving thanks always is not a suggestion. It's an imperative. It's a command. And it is imperative that we do that. So if the Lord's convicting your heart this morning, you need to be saved, you need to be baptized and join this church, you need to get something right with the Lord, whatever it is, you come while we sing. Page 5.